Okay, so we're going to have Janice perform some songs and some spoken word before we have Martin, who is our final speaker. And I just want to explain how this is going to go after, or what we're going to try to get folks to do. So the whole point of the May Day dinner is to get folks excited. Well, not the whole point. It's the highlight voices that often go unheard, actually. But we also want to get people hyped for the May Day rally. So the May Day rally is taking place in a few different cities. I know there's like a block party happening in Hamilton. There's also a rally happening in Toronto. And we wanted to make just like posters and placards that kind of highlight the voices of people who are currently are facing deportation notices or in immigration detention. So after it's all said and done, we have a ton of placards, we have a ton of posters. All of those names on the boards over there are people who are currently in immigration detention and want people to know how long they've been in immigration detention. And I just want people to know, and I spoke to half of those folks this morning. So they're very real. They don't have charges right now, so they're being held indefinitely. And we'll go into that a little bit more before we introduce Martin after Janice speaks. And we also, we teamed up with the Anarchist Black Cross. They want folks to do some letter writing. And so that's all set up in the back, and there's a list of people who need to be written to. And you can also write to the immigration detainees. So when it's all said and done, if folks want to get some pens out or some markers and start making some posters so we can do some awesome and continue to do awesome community work, I just want to know that that's y'all in store for you, or that's all in store for you. And I just wanted to go back to Jose's case for a second and just talk about how real what's happening and how scary it is. My dad was a member of the FMLN. The FMLN was just a leftist organization. Like, there was a really intense brutality going on in El Salvador, and all the FMLN was a bunch of people like you and me who were like, we can't stand up for this anymore. And when the war ended in El Salvador, they ended up, that was part of the peace treaty, was that they became an official elected party, and now they are democratically elected. They definitely aren't perfect. Don't get me wrong. Don't like governments. But just to go back to it, like, these were ordinary people that joined an organization because enough was enough, right? And now a lot of people in Canada who were part of the FMLN are at threat of being deported. So it's a little bit scary. I think we're going to have Janice come up and lighten up the mood for a few seconds, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Immigration Detention Network, and then have Martin come up. Janice is an amazing spoken word artist and also a musician who's really cool.
Thank you. If I move this mic, can I move it forward? Is it going to cause me issues if I move it forward? Hey, Guelph. I'm from Kitchener, and you always are doing cool things. Sometimes I get invited on the Facebook, and sometimes I don't. But this time I got invited, and I ate a lot of the food, and it was really good. The food was really good, eh? Who had one of those lavender? Who made the lavender cupcakes? Those are really good. Thank you. I was overwhelmed by how much of it there was. Can I get a, are you Guelphites? How do you feel about rhythm? Is that something you do? As I look into a sea of white people. It's all good. Let's try this. Can I get a power stomp? A power clap, but just like this. Right? Okay. Now the people who are good at rhythm, you're going to do the second part, okay? So it's, the second part's like this. All right, so keep that up. When they came around asking for the trees, we said they're getting old anyway, cut them down as you please. When they came around asking for the trees, we said they're getting old anyway, cut them down as you please. But now streetlights drown out the stars, pavement crawling with cars. The air is not clean, our lungs are dirty, and we can hardly breathe. Feels good, eh? I feel like we're getting it. This is good. When they came around asking for more taxes, we said for the health of our children, we can afford to give. When they came around Asking for more taxes, we said for the health of our children, we can't afford to give. But now they're gone and used it all to buy fighter jets. How can we say, spend it this way? We don't write the checks. Can I get some whoops in the breaks? Like, woo! 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 That's good, that's good. When they came around asking for ID, we said we don't want any trouble. Take it, don't injure me. When they came around asking for ID, we said we don't want any trouble. Take it, don't injure me. But now they want a fingerprints and cameras in our homes. What else do they want? When will it stop? We're giving everything. And the people went, woo! Ah! Last one, last one. When they came around asking for our rights, we said we won these through protests, so we'll put up a fight. When they came around asking for our rights, we said we won these through protests, so we'll put up a fight. But they have force that we do not, so they take away whatever they want, and they will not stop till we fight for our say. Whatever they want, and they will not stop till we fight for our say. Whatever they want, and they will not stop till we fight for our say. All right. Oh, rhythm gets me all hot, so I gotta take off a layer. Yeah, remember when? So there was when the mic kind of decided to take a break there. There's a line about our taxes, and then the remember when they bought the fighter jets? Harper and company bought the fighter jets, and then years later they like backed out on the fighter jets. It was like this $1 billion purchase, and all the poor people are like, what? Can we get a little bit of that? And, you know, all the social programming. I think at the same time, they were cutting the special diet and other things were happening. And when right now with the Fair Elections Act, if you all know about this, I guess it's passed, right? It's passed. It's not. Oh, actually, the Senate committee is trying, the senator actually going to try and amend it, which is crazy. They never do anything. But it's basically going to take away so many of our, like, kind of democratic rights we have through election. Like, it's going to allow unlimited donations to political parties, and it's going to make illegal for Elections Canada to promote voting. Things like this that are super fascist. Yeah, and pardon me? No vouching. Yeah, you can't, like, vouch for somebody. You know what used to be able to go to the polls? This is all, like, only matters if you actually care about elections, right? But anyway, you used to be able to go to the polls, and if your friend didn't have proof of address, you could be like, I am vouching for this person that they are who they say they are, and you could let them vote. But it makes it more difficult for people who don't have, like, a permanent address or ID to vote. So it's all sorts of fascist. And things like this happen in Canada, and the culture in Canada is so complacent. So we're all just like, oh, it's great. It's a Fair Elections Act. Woo! But people don't really pay attention, right? And so that's really enraging. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I guess I'll say a little bit about myself. My name's Janice Lee. My Korean name is Lee Seung-hae. Are there any Korean people in the house? Okay, I gotta represent. That's cool. That happens a lot. I'm from Kitchener and I went to Laurier, so most of my friends are white and that's a thing. So my family is big. My dad has 7 siblings, my mom has 6 siblings, and they all immigrated here about 20, 30 years ago. And when we talk about stories of immigration, it's very interesting because there's like pre-Canada and post-Canada life, and if you come from an immigrant family, they're very separate, right? Especially families that like don't go back and visit a lot. I like to think of it as, if you've read Harry Potter, it's like pre-Sirius Black and post-Sirius Black. You know, like for Harry, there's this like division of like a life that was wonderful and then a life that was different and without something. Anyway, so I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go. I'll do some poems. I write poems and like perform them. If you feel like you want to show support for what I'm saying, you can like snap. Can everyone snap? But only do it if you actually like, if you dig it. If you don't dig it, you can just be silent. Or you can also do something we call in KW, the pissed hiss. You can be like, I don't like that, Janice. Actually, I think that's kind of oppressive. You could do that. Maybe I say fucked up shit. Who knows? You don't know what I'm going to say, right? Don't just assume you're going to like me. If you really like what I'm saying, though, you can like stomp the table and stomp your feet, that kind of thing. Get rowdy. It's a gymnasium, so we can create a lot of echo, you know? All right. This poem is about body love. Okay. Woo! Stomp if you like your body. Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there. My body is a grassland, blowing in the breeze, growing with ease, sprouting bushes of cushions, cozy to me. In grade 5, I sat on the portable steps at recess, right? And this grade 6 girl sitting below me looked at my knees and said, rather attitudinally, do you shave? Because you should. In grade 5, Janice thought, well, why would I mow my soft and untouched grasslands? Who is this girl telling me that parking lots are prettier than meadows? That blank space is more interesting than texture? Grade 5 Janice scoffed. Whatever. I went home that night and told my mom, and she looked at me so sadly that I had not inherited her skin, smooth like a marble floor. Instead, I had the skin of my father's family, furry fishing people. And mother hens want to protect their chicks, and ugly chicks get picked on, and my legs were ugly. Ugly for being furry. I learned that girls can't grow grasslands, only boys can. So, that night, two sharp metal blades scraped across the surface of my delicate peachy skin in a cloud of white foam masquerading as the fragrant plumage of blooming flowers. Shaving cream. It was a clear cut. A massacre. That night in bed, I felt the softness of my sheets in this bizarre new way, like a plucked chicken rubbing up against an unplucked chicken and thinking, shit, I'm naked with you and cold and ready for a butchering. In following years, my grasslands weathered new methods of attempted annihilation. My aunt didn't tar and feather, but waxed and ripped out my roots, leaving a red war zone of screaming pixels and silent pain. Grade 9 Janice tried to smile and glorify the calm finish of a glassy lake and not its surrounding prickly forest, at the same time suppressing the inner mind picket signs that were protesting, keep your pesticides out of my inner thighs. Technology's advanced people and saboteur marketeers came up with brilliant new ideas, like 3 blades, 4 blades. Mother-loving blades, man. Vibrating blades. Aloe moisture strips, slogans and shit. Venus fire desire. I don't even know anymore. University Janice entered new growing seasons, left the home turf behind, and watered new gardens. Getting lost in some library cave and caring not to mow the grass. Discovering old ideas from new books. Discovering forests of grandeur full of free, feathery birds. Dreaming of a chicken that one day was brave enough to grow up against the razor-sharp pressures of magazine page beauty and refuse to be naked, refuse to be plucked. Fighting writing in my own damn notebook saying, my body is a grassland, blowing in the breeze, growing with ease, sprouting bushes of cushions. They're cozy. You'll see. Sing. All right. So my dad was in Korea, in South Korea, it's still mandatory when you're 18 as a young man, you have to do 2 years of military service. And usually what that means is like all 18-year-olds then have to like get really fit, you know, because there's not really much happening with North Korea, at least back then. And after coming out of military, my dad went to school and was an architect. He was like starting to do all this architect stuff. And then my whole family moved to Canada. And My dad like had a series of small businesses and always like he's had many jobs over the years, right? But wasn't able to be an architect because of, you know, language and all the things. And now he's actually past year has moved back to Korea and is still working. And it's like really hard when your parents have like worked, if you're working class and your parents have worked their whole lives and you know that they're super intelligent and you know that they're super, like they're capable of so many things, but it's things like racial barriers, language barriers, or educational things that, all these barriers that prevent them from moving up and like doing well and being proud of themselves. So it's really, when we talk about like immigration stuff, it's like super personal, right? My dad's family is from a small island off the east coast of South Korea. It's called Ulleongdo. It's like 75 kilometers squared. And I went there once in grade 6. And I was like, wow, this place is so beautiful. It's like mountains and like tropical waters. And this is the house your grandfather built. And this is the path that I went to every day to school. And I was like, wow, like having actual land, like being able to locate yourself and not feel unsettled, that's huge, right? To be like, oh, this is where my family's from. And oh, there's so many stories from Ulleongdo that I don't know. And I wonder about them and I ask about them. But like I said, pre-post Sirius Black, it's like a thing we don't talk about. So I've been trying to reconnect with those stories. And this song is about that. It's called Song from My Father's Seven Sisters or Immigrant's Lament. I come from a land that is an island far away. Cross the oceans over mountains in that turquoise bay. From fishing, faring friends on pebble pounding shores. Oh, I remember the day I left and would see your face no more. I had known you for so many years since we were young. We discovered our own language in our made-up tongue. Between our classroom notes and by our two-piece choir. Oh, we would write and sing our songs together by the midnight fire. You lived up the mountainside above the waterfall. I would scurry up the path and to you I would call. Oh, come outside and see a red bird in the tree. You took my hand, we sat below the blossom tree there happily. 14 years have passed since I last said goodbye to you. From the ship I watched you slowly disappear from view. But I am going back. Are you still there, my friend? I never kept in touch those letters in my desk. I never sent. Thank you.
All right.
One more? Okay, so this is a snarky poem. Beware, there is snark. And when I performed this, it's a poem about race, and I performed it in Burlington, Ontario. And the vibes, man, the vibes were not good. It's a bunch of like middle-aged white people who were like, she's calling us white people. I think she's being racist. You know, that was the vibe I was getting. I was like sweating. So hopefully I won't get that kind of vibe here, right? We can talk about race, right? It's all good. Great.
Woo, allyship. Is that a thing?
Okay. Dear Sandra Oh, thank you for existing and making art. You legitimize me. You reflect me. Because as far as I can see with these narrow eyes, you're the only Korean-Canadian woman on the screen with her flat faces and non-folded eyelids. You know, Sandra, I get tired of being erased. All of these shows which are supposed to represent real life, they leave us out. Or if we're in, we're the nerdy Asian, or awkward Asian, or kung fu Asian. You know, never stories where we are centered, always marginalized. You know, it's always just white people problems, white people heroes, and racialized villains, and racialized people needing to be saved. But very good-looking white people. Oh, white people. I love you guys. Like I said, I went to Laurier. Most of my friends are white. But I do have two other Asian women friends who also hang out in downtown Kitchener. and people mistake us for each other all the time. I guess it's funny, yeah. So Sandra, I went to a folk music house show recently in Kitchener, and during this particularly appropriative part where the old white guy with dreads was putting on a Jamaican accent and then singing a calypso-style song he wrote about relaxing. The white folks ate that shit up. I left to the kitchen to eat some snacks, and in the kitchen, this other old white guy says to me, "I know you from the stage." I was like, "Cool." He's like, "Miss Saigon, you were the engineer." I was like, "Oh." So this is a musical where Americans go to Vietnam to save Asian people. And we all know how that went. And then he says to me, "You know, you really look like Sandra Oh." "Oh, Sandra, you know I love you. But we both know, having had more than, let's say, 10 Asian friends in our lives, we don't look alike. What am I supposed to say to this shit?" "Yeah, thanks. She's an incredible actress. You know, it's probably because we both don't have the folded eyelids, you know? Uh-huh. That's why you think we look alike." He corrects me. "Actually, it's called the epicanthic fold." "Huh. Thank you. Thank you, white man, for educating me. Just what I need more of, you studying me and naming all my exotic features." "So, Sandra, you said, and I quote, 'I cannot compare myself to a white girl. If I did, I'd probably die.'" "Okay, yeah. I see that. I hear you. I mean, I'm going to try and stop doing that. I'm going to try and unlearn these ideas I've learned that beauty is exclusively white, or talent is white, or that neutral is white. No, I'm gonna try and center myself. Lastly, Sandra, let's talk about how excited I am that everybody's freaking out that you're leaving Grey's Anatomy. That's right. They better recognize that it's you who carries that show, and it's you who's the star. Please autograph this enclosed photograph of you and send it back in the postage paid envelope I've also included. Thanks so much. XOXO, Janice." Thanks.
Thank you, Guelph. Yes. And I think it's one thing, like, it's important to commemorate that, you know, these things are happening with immigration and people being detained and deported and unfairly treated. But I think why I love Janice's music and poetry so much, because it talks about the everyday interactions and just, you know, different class backgrounds dealing with folks who might not have the same amounts of privilege. And I think in Guelph, that's something that we need to be talking about a lot more. And so, thank you for keeping it real, bringing it down. That's amazing.
Hi, this is Mary with Migrant Matters. And yeah, so just like Mina with Fuerza Puerza was saying, Janice Lee was the last person you just heard sing and do their spoken word art and their storytelling. So Janice Lee is singer-songwriter and a community organizer rooted in Kitchener-Waterloo. She also is a musician and has a blues folk band called Janice Lee and the Free Radicals. She's also the artistic director of the KW Poetry Slam and a member of the 2012 and 2013 KW Slam teams. Wow. Okay. So that closes off the recordings of the May Day dinner that was held on the 29th. To help promote the May Day rallies that are happening at nearby cities in Hamilton and Toronto. That's happening today, May 1st. And the organizer of the event that you just heard is Guelph-based migrant worker advocacy group going by the name of Fuerza Puerza. You can connect with them at fuerza@gmail.com. That's fuerza.puerza@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Migrant Matters, and it's the end of the hour, so we're going to end off with a song from Janice Lee and the Free Radicals. Take care and see you next time.